The following is a presentation of the Premier Dance Network.
Welcome to Balancing Point Podcast, where you will experience the captivating world of professional ballet. On this show, you will hear what it takes to make it in the exclusive world. Each guest will share with you their struggles, their I've made it moments, and their advice for success. And ultimately, you will learn what it is really like to live your dream. Join your host, Kimberly Falker, and today's inspiring guests as they take you on a behind-the-scenes journey into ballet.
Hi everyone, Kimberly Falker here. Today's guest is Jess Spinner, and I interviewed her when I was in Boston, so the interview is live. We started off inside or kind of in a little cafe area and then moved over to a quieter area. So while you will hear some background noise, it's definitely worth listening to the interview because Jess's history is extremely interesting. She not only has a background as a professional dancer, but now she has an amazing program called the Whole Dancer Program. And if you've not heard of this program, be sure to stop by her website at thewholedancer.com to learn more about the different opportunities that she offers to dancers, from getting into shape to nutrition, as well as free workshops and webinars with some other professional dancers and fitness experts. It's just really an incredible site and a really wonderful resource for any dancers of any age, really. So please excuse the noise and let's get started with Jess Spinner. Okay, so I'm in Arlington, Massachusetts at the Kickstand Cafe with Jess Spinner, who is the founder and owner of The Whole Dancer. And I discovered her online and reached out to her, so now we're going to do an in-live, in-person interview. So, hi Jess, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
So go ahead and give a little bit of a background about like your history in dance and then how you evolved into creating The Whole Dancer and what your mission is with it and kind of what you've seen happen with it and where you want to grow it.
Okay, sure. So I started dancing a little late. I was about 12 and I studied on Long Island at the Iglewski Ballet School.
Is that where you're from then?
I'm from Long Island, okay. Yeah. And then after that, I went on to Butler University where I studied dance and arts administration. And I loved every second of college. It was an amazing experience. And for me, it was a necessary bridge to a professional career. I don't think I would have been ready without it.
Did you stay at that same studio prior to that?
Yeah, I was at the same studio for my whole training.
And then how did you choose Butler?
Well, my mother very strongly wanted me to go to college. So I really researched all schools with a strong ballet program.
There's only like three or four, right?
Yeah, there's not too many of them.
Two of them in Indiana, right?
Yep. IU and Butler are definitely up there. As far as training goes.
Yeah.
And I feel like Butler has even grown a lot since I've been there and you know, reaching for a higher caliber all the time,
mm-hmm.
which is cool.
Yeah, it seems like they're training kids to be professionals,
yeah.
not just to have a degree.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so then what happened after college?
So after Butler, I started dancing with the Louisville Ballet in Kentucky. And then
a lot of cultural changes.
Yeah, it was cool though. Yeah. I enjoyed living in different places and meeting new people. And you know, being from the East Coast, there were all kinds of stereotypes about the Midwest that I was happy to see. You know, didn't really hold up very much.
Right.
People were very open, and it was a nice environment. So. But then after that, I was ready to return to the East Coast, and a college friend was moving to Boston, and I had studied at Boston Ballet one summer,
okay,
and I always loved it,
right,
and had always said I would love to live here, so I moved then with her.
Yeah. So when you transitioned from Butler to Louisville, was the professional dance world what you thought it would be, or why'd you leave when you left?
I was really overwhelmed by it.
Really?
Even having gone to Butler, like, I did feel somewhat more prepared than some of my younger peers. Some of the younger girls starting out, I felt it seemed to be a bigger jump for them.
Right.
From wherever they were training to being in a professional company. Right. But even for me, having gone to college, I struggled a lot with body image and confidence. And it kind of, I felt like I got even more teared down in my first couple of years dancing professionally.
Because like at Butler, was it just that, I've heard this from other guests, is that at college, if you're dancing in college, it's not that same kind of fight for the top because you're there to stay, and so it feels like you're just dancing because you love dancing, and then, which shifts when it goes to
That's definitely a big part of it, I think. Not to say, you know, other dancers in the company weren't supportive, but at Butler, you always have your friends,
right?
You know, who you're happy for always.
And it's
when
like the same age
roles,
range.
Same age range. You're all going through it at the same time.
Right.
Making similar adjustments.
Yeah.
And I never felt quite as... Casting was always the thing, you know, like dancers always are worried
your whole
about
life.
Casting, but that's your whole life, yeah. And it was never, it never really stressed me out as much
right.
at Butler.
Because you weren't like worried about like your contract's going to go away or something.
Exactly.
So then how long were you with Louisville?
Only 2 years.
So did you go in as an apprentice or as a core member?
I went in as a trainee.
Oh, a trainee.
Yeah.
Okay. And then what happened? You stayed as a trainee?
I stayed as a trainee for the 2 years that I was there. And yeah, it was a really good learning experience.
Mm-hmm. Probably like if you hadn't tried it, you'd always
wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And wish that I had, I think.
Right.
And then when I came to Boston, it was amazing too, that shift in and like actually getting paid dancing jobs freelancing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How'd you find them?
I started taking classes at Jose Mateo Ballet Theater. And I got close with the ballet master at the time.
Okay.
And he was starting to do some of his own projects and needed dancers, and he always, you know, liked me and would ask me to perform in different shows.
Is he classical and more contemporary? Or?
He's classical.
Okay.
I did start to do some more contemporary work in Boston as well. Partly because that was what was paying also.
Right.
Sometimes, at a certain point, you're like, oh, I can get paid to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give that a try.
when I was here the last time, a few weeks ago, there's the old dance store that's been there for like 50 years in Central Square.
Yeah.
And one of the guys in the store is with Jose Mateo's company, and he said he just loves the intimacy of the group.
Yeah, it's a nice space that they have. Mm. And the company members who I've known there have always been very nice as well.
So how long have you been in Boston now?
It's been about 7 years.
Okay.
6 or 7 years.
So do you still do freelance dancing or?
No, I haven't been dancing professionally for the last probably 3 years.
What kind of made that shift for you?
I needed a mental break.
Yeah.
My body image issues really didn't improve when I was freelancing here, and even with the validation of having paying jobs, it still was a struggle for me. And so I think I just needed time away from the mirror.
Right. Now that makes sense.
Yeah. I started doing like a lot of yoga, and it was amazing. Like the shift happened pretty quickly. Not being in front of the mirror and like appreciating what your body can do.
Yeah. Oh, I could see that.
Yeah.
So how long it's been since you haven't been dancing?
About 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said that.
Yeah.
So then, during that period of time, other than dancing, were you doing other things for work? Or?
Yeah, so I was the healthy eating specialist at Whole Foods.
Oh, neat.
I was the first one in downtown Boston So I was there right when they were starting the position. And it was really cool because they put us through a nutrition training.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, that's how I first started thinking, you know, something in the field of health and nutrition
right.
could be.
Like, why do you think that you got the job if you didn't have a background in nutrition?
Passion.
Yeah.
In the interview, you know, he asked a little bit about what I already knew.
Right, which you probably lived a life like that anyway.
Yeah, and I had read a lot already. I had started reading about food and health and things like that a lot. Unfortunately, you know, at the time I was dancing, it was often about the diet and, like,
right.
looking for a diet.
Right, right.
But it opened my mind to that. And then in the interview, I was just passionate about, you know, taking that path.
That is really neat to, like, to get a job that then gives you the education that you might have gotten in anyway, you know?
Right.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
So what did that job entail?
So a lot of it was interesting because it was so new at Whole Foods that they hadn't really defined
yeah.
what they wanted you to do or what exactly it was. So I did things with customers as well as with the Whole Foods staff.
For one second.
Sure.
All right, so we were talking about your job at Whole Foods.
So I was working with customers and also team members, and they had kind of given us a somewhat strict curriculum of nutrition that they wanted us to follow and sort of share with people. And it was interesting because we would also do demos of different foods, and people's reaction to some of it was kind of funny. I feel like the public knowledge of health has improved a lot even since then.
Yeah.
People are getting more aware, and so I think that the position would feel different now.
Right.
But it was a little bit trying at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Trying to get people to see why
right,
you might choose
right.
to eat this instead
right, right.
of that.
That's true. You're right. Because you see, like, you know, vegan, whole, like, kind of whole food restaurant-y type of things
yeah.
coming up now, which is so nice.
Yes. A lot more healthy options in a lot
right,
of places,
right.
I feel like.
Right. So then, how long were you with Whole Foods?
I was there for about 3 years, and
okay.
then on and off in different positions after that for a little bit as well.
And then from there to what you're doing now, kind of talk about that process.
So I had gone through a little period of time. I worked at Lululemon, and I enjoyed, you know, being a part of, like, the fitness culture.
Yeah.
And taking more yoga classes and just, like, trying different exercises with my coworkers and things like that was really fun for me.
That would be fun.
It was nice to have a similar group of like-minded people that you experience as a dancer.
Yeah.
Because they all, you know, like, loved working out and
yeah.
doing yoga and stuff like that. So that was really nice. And then I was just in transition. I really didn't know for a while what I wanted to pursue. And then I started nannying, and I felt somewhat quickly like I couldn't keep doing it for a super long time.
Right.
Because it was a lot more emotionally draining than I thought it would be.
It's true.
Dealing with small children. And that's when I found the Institute for Integrative Nutrition.
Okay.
And I did my health coach training through them. They're based out of New York, and when they first started, they used to have some on-site classes, but now it's all online.
Okay, so you did that online?
Yeah.
How long does that take to get that?
It's a year.
Okay.
It's a year, and then they have an additional year of, like, workshopping stuff you can
take. The end goal with that is solely for coaching, or?
Health coach.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then typically a person from there goes and, like, maybe gets a job in a clinic, or how's that?
A lot of health coaches end up working, you know, in partnerships with doctors.
Okay.
It's still a little bit, you know, doctors are still have not all come around to that as a necessary therapy, but
right.
it's getting more common. And then a lot of health coaches end up just starting their own businesses.
Okay.
And that's what I ended up doing. And I always knew I wanted to do that.
Right.
But when I first started, I was working with regular folks, you know, like people who work 9-to-5 jobs and,
right.
and that kind of thing. And
was that not fulfilling, or?
It was. But at the same time, I didn't feel like I could relate to them so closely because I had never done that.
Right.
And, you know, I understand the struggle of being busy, but not in the exact same way that they were dealing with.
Right. I was just curious whether or not, like, the average person, while they might have a desire, their discipline and follow-up is not there. And I would think that would get a little frustrating.
That is part of it as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, any person to make that kind of, you know, to make any kind of big health
commitment
related changes and commitment, they need to be in the right headspace.
And yeah, I mean, I can see what you're saying with dancers because they've had that headspace for their whole life.
Yeah. And so when I was working with, you know, regular people, I always thought about working with dancers. I just wasn't sure how it would manifest and what the interest would be.
Right. So then what happened? When you were, doing it for anybody, the general audience, what was the name of your company then?
It was just Jessica Spinner Health Coaching.
Okay.
Which I still have.
How do you market yourself in that kind of...
It's mostly online.
Okay.
And that was one thing, too, with going for a more general market, is that there is a good number of health coaches at this point who seem to be just, you know, going for a general market of people.
Right.
So,
well, that's what they even said, like, when I started podcasting. It's like, you know, you niche down to find the... Even though your audience comes slower, you're going to have a more loyal following.
Yeah,
you know?
And more engaged.
More engaged, yeah. So then you had been doing it for how long when you transitioned?
I was working on it probably for about a year.
Okay.
And then I started working with a business coach, actually.
Okay.
And I think in our first session I said something about being a dancer and thinking maybe I should work with dancers, and she's like, well, maybe you should. I was like, yeah. And I kept talking about it, and more she was like,
evolved,
I'm pretty
sure
this is where your passion is, and I think these are the people that you understand.
Yeah.
So
how long, okay, it's called The Whole Dancer, but how long have you been in business under that name now?
It's coming up on a year.
Okay.
So I started it in August of last year.
When you worked with your business coach, did she or he like kind of fine-tune how to approach it and build it? Because I you know, I know that you do webinars and, you know, that kind of thing. Did you really hone in on your business model first and then work on it, or both, or?
Well, when she and I started working together, I very quickly said, I want to do like a group online program.
Right.
And so that was in August, and I decided I wanted to launch that group program in September.
So you had to write the program.
So I had to write the program, and I had seen a lot of health coaches use webinars, and I had attended a lot of webinars, and I enjoyed the format, and I thought it would be fun and like a challenge, but also something different for dancers. I don't feel like a lot of people are presenting that to them at this point. So I, that's why I went with the webinar format. And sort of jumped in with 2 feet as far as reaching out to dancers and trying to get the ball rolling.
Yeah. So then how did you find your first clients?
So through the webinar, I had over 100 people sign up for the first webinar.
Oh, that's
which
nice.
Was really good, and it was definitely helped by one of my college professors who I had reached out to, and I told her what I was doing.
Smart.
And she said, especially for her body placement class, that she thought it was like the perfect topic, so she required them all to go.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, so it was really nice to have big attendance in that first sort of come out with a bang, and there's a lot of engagement. And,
oh, that's so awesome.
And it was really nice. And Shelby Ellsbury helped me with that one. And she sort of partnered up with me for that. And she was a very energetic
Then you had a
guest.
Name.
And some appeal.
Yeah.
From a big ballet company. And so it worked out really well. And from the webinar is where all the signups for the first program.
Okay.
So the way that your model works is they sign up for 6 weeks. Is that what you said?
So yeah, the whole dancer program is a 6-week program. It's sort of expanded to 8 because I wanted to put a couple of buffer weeks in there in case they got behind, knowing how busy dancers can be.
Right, right. So with the 6 weeks, what do they get?
It's all online, and each week there's a different topic covered. The whole dancer program is more overall sort of general wellness and like creating a balanced lifestyle. So we cover things like nutrition and self-care and self-love and confidence, how to assess yourself, you know, without being your harshest critic. Dancers tend to be that for themselves.
Yes.
So a lot about mindset, and then, you know, some of the more practical things with food and cross-training and stuff like that.
And then do you have, like a second-tier program for, like, if somebody's done that first round and then graduated from that? Is there more?
So launching in the fall, and it's not, it could be a continuation of the whole dancer program, but really it's just a little bit more focused on reaching your personal best dancer's body. Which will include also components of, you know, health and nutrition and what to eat, meal plans and meal planning for them. And in addition to that, the mindset stuff around your body and your confidence and dealing with comments that teachers make.
Yeah.
Because it's, I hear so much. And, you know, it's funny because when you're a dancer and you're going through it, sometimes I think you think it's just you that they're saying these things to.
Yes, exactly.
Like, oh, it's just my thighs that are the problem.
Yeah.
But I've heard over and over from every level of dancer that I've spoken to these comments that have stayed with them
mm-hmm.
that, you know, now impact so greatly what they see when they look in the mirror mm-hmm. and, you know, all of their flaws that they're dwelling on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, dealing with those comments and sort of moving past them and staying confident regardless of the things that you hear.
Right.
Because it's not all positive.
So do you have like an ideal client, you know, age range or, you know, kind of those that seem to really...
The greatest interest for both programs seems to be like 17 and 18 year olds.
Okay.
Which makes sense. You know, a lot of them are either at that point where they're going to be auditioning for companies or even, you know, auditioning for college programs.
Yeah.
And so I think that maybe...
Or even if they're moving on, having to let go of some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Or how to transition into, quote-unquote, regular life in a healthy way.
Right. Exactly. So I do see that's been the biggest age of interest, but it's gone up to about 26.
Okay. What's the youngest that you've ever had?
Young girls are interested. I'm a little bit, I like to, you know, make sure that they're ready. And if they're going to do it, I want, like, some parent involvement.
Yeah.
So there's...
Because you don't want them to get kind of crazy.
Right. Right.
And then, like, so is it kind of, like, automated? Once they sign up, it's, like, comes into their... So it's not like you're having to, I can't take on any more clients because it's...
Yeah, so the majority of both programs is online, and it's delivered. It's trickled out, you know, each
kind of like
week
packaged.
New resources are being released to them. But then also with both programs, because I know some dancers like to have feedback and like to have, you know, even reassurance and just a little bit of additional accountability. There's usually an option to work more one-on-one with me as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So then, what's your kind of, right now, like, what's your biggest hurdle or setback happening to make it so that you can't expand bigger?
Probably my own time constraints, like my own life taking up too much time. But I feel like more and more I'm trying to gear my life towards allowing for that,
mm-hmm.
you know, the time for the whole dancer, because it's where I would like to spend
all your time.
All of my time. And time tends to be a barrier that we just kind of create for ourselves. So.
Well, especially when you work
independently
in your own space, in the online world,
right.
It's like, it's really, it's hard to
be a challenge.
It's hard to compartmentalize,
yes.
you know, and one of the guys in the podcasting space, who's done very well, has really done a nice job, and it probably worked well for you too. It's like batching it out, like doing all your newsletters,
right?
Like the first day of the month or something like that. You know,
I'm
so that you do, yeah, and chunking it down so that it's like you're doing one thing at one time. You're not doing. So what I find myself doing a lot of is everything every day.
Right.
And that,
I do that too.
That starts getting, it's not your best use of time, but it also burns you out a little bit.
Yeah.
And as my network has expanded so fast, I've found that I need to, I need to kind of get better about just spending one day on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, it's a challenge. It's a learning process.
It's a learning process.
Which
yeah.
is nice.
Yeah.
I like learning about it.
Uh-huh. It is, yeah. So then what's your, like, fast forward 5 years, what would be your vision for the Whole Dancer?
I would like it to continue to grow. I've already been really excited by, you know, sort of the international interest.
Oh, that's
like,
nice.
I've had dancers from all over getting involved and signing up for programs. So that's exciting. I would like to have... I would be interested to see how it would work if I could get more time with, you know, one school.
Right.
And, like, work with one group and, you know, see from the teacher's perspective.
Yeah.
And the dancers' and parents' perspective.
Shoot, you should approach Boston Ballet and see, you know.
It's
maybe let them be, like, the pilot program.
Yeah.
Offered up at a different level or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been one of those things that's kind of been percolating.
Yeah, because I could see that being a huge asset to, like, the kids that are at the highest level and trainees, you know, kind of both in a preparation for the mindset of what it takes to go to that next level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I could see that being hugely valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, and then just continuing to, like, expand the reach.
Yeah.
It's always been a goal for me to keep the programs more reasonably priced, because I know, you know, the burden that parents are already facing
with point
training
shoes.
And point shoes. Yeah.
But you could also price it to the point where, hey, this is only X amount of point shoes, but it's a lifetime of value.
Right.
You almost don't want to underprice yourself either.
Yeah. No, it certainly is finding a balance with that.
Well, probably once you become... so busy that there's a wait list is when you know that you've gotten to that point.
Yeah.
I would think, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Yeah. I love it. Well, I've loved watching your journey from virtually, you know,
that
you've done a really nice job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we kind of started ish the same time. I think I was a little bit before you, but it's kind of fun to watch a lot of this stuff happening.
Yeah,
so I think
definitely.
It's such value to the dancers.
It's amazing. Like, it still seems like an area that's not touched on enough.
Yeah.
Obviously, some of the bigger schools have, you know, a nutritionist or something on site, but it still tends to be like, you know, maybe they'll give a seminar, but outside of that, the dancer has to seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think on an in-person basis, sometimes dancers can be a little more timid with that sort of thing.
Right.
So I think that the virtual and the online area can appeal to them even more, because
it's
something they can do, you know, for themselves on their own. They don't necessarily.
So is it a rolling membership? I mean, like, can a dancer start the program at any point, or is it like a seasonal thing?
Right now, it's been seasonal.
Okay.
I see the Whole Dancer program shifting to one that I'll probably have available all the time. And then with this new program, it's gonna be seasonal to start, like 2 or 3 times of the year.
And do you have a cap on how many dancers you accept in?
I haven't really crossed that bridge yet. I mean, I feel like it's grown like slowly, but it's been like each time I've realized, okay, that's been a good amount for me to handle right now.
Right.
So I sort of think...
it's kind of happening organically.
Yes, yeah.
But if a dancer wants to sign up, can they sign up for Whole Dancer anytime, or?
Not right now.
Okay.
That's going to shift, though, in the next couple of months. Probably.
Okay.
So, like...
So, if they wanted to find out more information, they just go to theholedancer.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's, you know, you can read about the different programs there. This new program is called the Dancer's Best Body Program, and there will be more information coming out on that in the next few weeks.
Okay.
And then, like I said, it will launch this fall. I've got a small group of testers going through right now, which is cool. I've gotten really good feedback on it. So
what do you do, or when what you've learned, and when you kind of consult with people? I know that a huge wave within the world of ballet is approaching a vegan diet. Do you consult with that, or do you try and work with dancers towards allowing themselves to continue that at a healthy way, or do you have...
So, I was vegan for a while.
Okay.
And I know for me, and this is the only reason I am wary of it for dancers, is because I think that sometimes it does come from a similar mindset.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what appealed about that was how much you could say you don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how it's... Until you really learn how to do it well and healthfully, it's sort of limiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can go out to a restaurant and you have to say no cheese and no this and no eggs and all of that. And I think that sometimes it's used as like a platform to be more restrictive. But I do think it can be done healthfully. And like what I follow now for my own eating is more of like a nutritarian lifestyle, which is a phrase coined by Dr. Joel Fuhrman, where you're focusing on the foods that have the highest nutrient
value.
Yeah, content. And I think that across the board, whatever eating style a dancer might choose to eat, that has to be the first concern.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. So I will link all your stuff into your show notes, and... I look forward to seeing your next program, because I think it'd be really great.
I'm excited for it. And already, I had, for this test group, I reached out to my email list and said, you know, you can apply to be a part of the test group and take part for free. And the response was, like, really awesome.
Oh, good.
And all along, you know, the food and nutrition aspect of things has been of such a big interest to them. Anytime I say, like, what do you want me to write more about,
that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard when you don't know if you're touching on the right pain points. But, you know, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Jess. It's just been really fun talking to you. I can sit here all day.
Thank you. I had a great
time. And thanks, everyone, for listening today. If you have not done so, I would encourage you to stop by the Premier Dance Network's website and check out the other shows that we have to offer. We currently have 9 shows on the network, with more to come soon. So check them out and stop by often. And if you have any sort of request for a guest or suggestions or questions for me or any of the other hosts on the network, you can leave a voicemail directly on the Premier Dance Network site, or you can send an email through the site as well. So until next time, have a great day.